Hospitality. When you're a guest in someone's home, what kind of hospitality do you expect from the host? Any ideas?
I expect no hospitality when I go.
No, what, I mean, are there expectations when you go into someone's house that the floor will be clean? No? Yes? I don't know. Yes? So you'd expect that you'd be offered a drink. Okay, what else? That the TV gets turned off. Very good. That you'd open the door for them, yes, and welcome them. Okay. How about when you're a host, what kind of hospitality do you think you should show your guests? Well, probably those things, but are there other things that you don't want to put onto, you know, yourself as a guest, but when you're a host, you always do this. Like what? Serve them first. What'd you say?
Clean.
Clean the house. Okay. What else? Put the dogs away? Put the dogs away, okay. Any other things that you do?
Always have dessert.
Okay. Even if it's dinner and dessert, or if it's always some dessert. Little snacks. Yep, okay. Here's some ideas that you can find from like places like Miss Manners, things like that. It says, when you're a guest, bring something. Ask the host. So maybe, you know, you can bring something, a salad or something if it's a meal, or a dessert, or you can bring a bottle of wine, or if you're not 21, you can bring a 2-liter of soda. You know, so that's appropriate. When you're a host, you should have a plan for some things to do when the people come over. It doesn't have to be a Trivial Pursuit game, but something, you know. Maybe it's a housewarming, so there's a tour of the house or something, or whatever it is, have a plan for something to do. If you're a host and it's a guest's first time in your home, offer them a brief tour of your house. And if you're a guest, don't ask the host for a brief tour of the house. That one can go both ways, though. But if you're a host, it says that, and it's their first time, offer them a brief tour. And by brief tour, that might just mean, here's where the bathrooms are. And don't go into that room, that room, that room, that room, and that room, because we just threw everything in there, right? Okay. If you're a guest, offer to help. Setting the table, putting away coats, etc. So that if you're a host, you don't have to sit there and go like this. You gonna help me with this? You know. But if you're a guest, offer to hope. Yeah, whether you're a guest or a host, always say the three most important words. Please and thank you. Very good. You still know those. When you're a host, fill a basin with clean water, wash the dirty feet of your guests, and then dry their feet. And if you're a guest, let the host do this. Right? Just follow these simple suggestions, and you'll be well on your way to being a good host or a good guest at any party or gathering. Right? Those last two, no? I know, I just kind of threw them in there because it was part of the reading. The etiquette rules of Jesus' time and our time are a little bit different. Right, so we don't wash people's feet. Nobody, I mean, we do wash our feet, right? You know, when you're in the shower or in the bath or whatever, you wash your feet. Or after a long day, sometimes it feels good to put your feet in hot water with Epsom salts, right? You don't do that anymore. Who does that still? Still feels good. But regardless of whether the etiquette rules have changed, because it was proper etiquette to have feet washed when you went into somebody's house. There's always been this underlying expectation of things like graciousness and kindness and gratitude and courtesy for hospitality, even though the customs about how you carry that out change. And none of the things that I listed here break those rules. You don't break courtesy, you don't break kindness, you don't break gratitude or graciousness. But Jesus did break etiquette. Because while it wasn't a breaking etiquette to have your feet washed, but it was breaking etiquette for the host, the leader, to wash the feet of the people who needed their feet washed. Just call it taboo. You didn't do that because the one who was in charge, the one who was hosting, if they wanted the guests' feet to be washed, they would have a servant do that. They would come in and they would actually get somebody. If they didn't have a servant, they would get somebody to come in and be the foot washer. So Jesus violated this etiquette rule of hospitality by washing the disciples' feet. All throughout the Bible, there are examples of foot washing, like in Genesis. That's the which book of the Bible? Very good. It's the first book of the Bible, Genesis 18, which is which chapter? The 18th. I'm just seeing if you're listening. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, and he sat at the entrance of the tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran out to the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves. And after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." Proper hospitality, foot washing. 1 Samuel 25, which is which book of the Bible? What number? No, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel. Ninth book, there we go. When David's servants came to Abigail at Carmel, they said to her, "David has sent us to you to take you to him as his wife." She rose and bowed down with her face to the ground and said, "Your servant is a slave to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord." It was a humble act for there, not just hospitality, I mean something, humbling herself. And then Luke, which among the New Testament books is the which book? Very good. What's the fourth one? The fifth one? Luke 7, 38, 37 and 38. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, having learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair." That was extraordinary hospitality. And it actually, you know, caused some trouble because I skipped some verses in there. Just like the song that we said here, that the disciples and Judas gets a bad rap in John. John really didn't like Judas. And he says stuff like, "Judas was just a crook." And the reason that he said, "Why didn't we sell, you know, this alabaster jar of nard, of this perfume or this ointment? Why didn't we sell it and give it to the poor?" And then it says in parentheses, "He said this because he stole from the community purse." Yeah, so the writer of John just really, really did not like Judas. But so Mary caused some trouble by doing that. But she was offering hospitality, humbleness. She was also doing something. Jesus said, "She's anointing my body for burial." All those different things actually are going on in the scripture tonight. See, foot washing, the sign of hospitality, but never by the host. Never by someone who is considered the leader or someone who was considered above the others. So one thing, Jesus taught about humility when he washed the disciples' feet. But remember that time when we were talking about the beginning of what you expect from a host or as a guest? It was just a few minutes ago. You remember that? We do not wash feet anymore. So you can knock those two off the list. We don't do it. So we got to think of some stuff that is, to wash your feet, it was not bad, but you did it yourself or a servant did it. For the host to do it is really, it's demeaning. So it may be kind of like a host would be sure to have a clean toilet, right? You have a clean toilet when you have guests come over. And then maybe in today's context, it might say, "And Jesus entered the homes of the disciples and scrubbed their toilets." Gives you kind of a similar flavor. Or maybe there are other gross tasks in your house that need to be done on a regular basis. Tasks that you'd rather have someone else do. Can you think of those? Gross tasks you'd rather have someone else do? Is there nothing gross in your house? You just don't. Pardon? Change the litter box. And Jesus came and scooped the cat litter out of all the litter boxes in the disciples' houses. That would be breaking kind of etiquette. It'd make you feel weird, but you might let him do that. And you, would you say, not just this litter box, but all of the dog stuff in the backyard too? And he said, no, just the litter box. Or how about, and Jesus changed the dirty diapers of all the babies. Or, not as gross, Jesus washed all the dishes. Or grosser, Jesus cleaned up all the vomit of the person who was sick when he was visiting. And then he says, you should do all of this for each other. It wasn't just that he did it. He looked at the disciples and said, do it for each other. He didn't say, do it for me. He said, do this for each other. I said that, Mary anointed Jesus. She was offering the hospitality, the humble service, but she was also anointing Jesus. And that's going on here too. In this passage, while Jesus is teaching about humility and humble service and serving one another, there's also Jesus dying and being anointed. And he is showing his disciples that they are going to suffer too. They are going to have some difficult times, some tragic times after he's gone. And so he is cleansing them and getting them ready in the same way that Mary was doing. It's a little more difficult to grasp that. And when we read the Bible verses, we don't always get that. Just know that that part's going on there, that Jesus is teaching the disciples about getting ready for what is to come. But I still want to focus on Jesus teaching about humble service. The humble service that Jesus offered to his disciples. And I also want to relate it to the second part of the reading, because that's, is it the most important part? It's one of the two most important commandments. So, you know, it's John's version of that. So first, Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and he told them that they should do it for each other. Then Jesus issued this new commandment. What is the new commandment? I said it three times. Ready? First word is love one another. There we go. Love one another. Hosts and guests, love one another. Leaders and followers, love one another. Jews and Gentiles, Republicans and Democrats, liberals and conservatives, come on, Cubs fans and Sox fans, you can add many, many, many more. But on this Maundy Thursday, let's be ready to love and to serve God and to love and to serve one another as we remember the foot washing. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for lessons we can learn, lessons about humble service, lessons about being prepared for what is to come, lessons about putting all other things aside and being ready to love one another. Amen.